Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, a lot of people have, they don't like the way we play. They don't like, they call us dirty. They call us nasty. They call us bullies. So no, I would like to take this time to apologize to absolutely no one. We're the double champs. We do what the we want. Let's go.
You know what? If they're going to give WWE speeches, I'm into it. It's fine. That's pretty good.
They're making me want to root against them.
Well,
this is sure. They're going to be the villains.
Sure, that's all well and good. Hey, it's Jeremy and Joe. Good morning, everybody. And hey, we're here. It's a Monday. It's hot, and we're doing what we can here.
How about the NHL now is the league with the dynasties, and the NBA is parody. Seven different champions in seven years in the NBA.
What's better?
The dynasties.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd rather have what the NHL has had, which is the same teams going. Yeah, I think that's better than seven different teams. Like, I don't know, you build more rivalry in the final rounds of it, and I don't know. I think I prefer the same teams, honestly. The more I'm experiencing it.
Yeah, I get that. What's the NFL? What does the NFL have? The perfect mix.
Where the NFL, it just feels like it's too much. It's too much on one side.
Yeah.
Too much Kansas City.
The Chiefs have three titles.
Spread it out, man. Like,
yeah.
Just a little bit.
I don't know. I feel like...
But the three titles, they've been to seven straight AFC championships.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And five Super Bowls.
Yes.
That's too many.
That's right.
Too many. Like, if you want to... You can win your three. Just don't go to two others and be in every AFC title.
Right.
Give me a couple years of a break.
I mean, hey, what it takes is somebody else to knock them out of there. You know, in the case of dynasty versus every, new teams every year, dynasties definitely get remembered more. Like seven NBA champs in 7 years. If I were to try and spin through all seven, could I do it? I probably would get there, but it's easy to remember. Like, who's been winning all the cups? It's like, oh, the Panthers and the Lightning and the Blackhawks won a bunch and the Kings won a bunch and... You know,
the Penguins won a bunch.
Yeah.
Like, how many teams in the last 15 years in the NHL only won one? It's not a ton.
The Blues.
The Blues won one.
The Bruins. Sorry, I just want to say that. Like, the Bruins got one.
And the Avalanche.
And the Avalanche. All those years of being good, the Bruins got one.
Is that it? Teams that only won one? Because I got seven in the NBA.
Yeah.
That have done it recently where, like, they only won one. It was a one-off. Vegas is the other one.
That's right, Vegas.
But that's the list.
Yeah. 803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550 to join us, Jeremy and Joe. One thing I was going to mention about, so we started the show talking about, injuries where you felt like the outcome got changed. And we've got our fair share of those locally that we know about. Who knows if Halliburton plays, if they ultimately beat the Thunder last night, but... He gets injured, and it really puts a big wet blanket over the entire game. Mm-hmm. Like, oh well, there's a big injury. Tatum, of course, that happened to him earlier.
They were down 3-1 in that series though when he got hurt.
What's the one that you believe the most? The outcome would have been different. It's really hard not to say the 06 Hurricanes.
The 06 Hurricanes.
Because
100%.
But that's not only how important the player was. That's also sheer volume.
Sure.
Right. You lost so many players. It's not the same as last night. In the Hurricane series, I guess last night is the Jay McKee moment, where before Game 7, after Game 6, you learn, oh, by the way, Jay McKee's not going to play in this game.
Hmm.
So that's big. But McKee on his own, all due respect to Jay McKee, that was as much everybody's already hurt. It can't be another guy. That's not Halliburton blows his Achilles during a game.
Right.
It's Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
No,
it's Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and he is the not quite the straw that breaks the camel's back, but like just another one. It's an absurd number of injuries piling up.
In hockey, that could only be like the goaltender, by the way. Like a star player going out that early, because like if Briere had gone down in the first period of Game 7, like he's amazing.
He's amazing.
He's your best forward, but you know, it wouldn't be, oh, like you can't win without him. Like that's a little, there's more of that in the NBA with your star player. But if your goalie, like if Miller had gone down in the first period, I think that could be different.
Maybe.
And that's why
goalies get pulled and teams do win.
I
get what you're saying. I'm thinking like McDavid goes down and then, oh, well.
See, that would be that.
How are you going to win without that guy?
That would be that. No, but right, it's the volume of it, because I fully believe they would have won that series. They had the lead going into the third period with four AHL defensemen.
Right. That was luck. It really was luck.
In that game, it was.
Carolina's goal was lucky. The Sabres got a Jochen Hesch special behind the net. I know.
He tried to do that. He always tried to do that.
That's right.
But then even, too, like, right, with that Carolina team, it's why I still kind of hate them, because they were able to win because after all those Sabres defensemen get hurt, we just went through it in the first hour. The Oilers are down to their third-string goaltender in the finals. That was an 8 seed, by the way,
yep,
and you got
yep.
their third-string goalie. Yeah, that's the team. That's definitely the team. Because the other ones, like, I think, and even that one to some extent, you don't really know. It's easy to make an argument. It's easy to imagine last night going Indiana's way if Halliburton doesn't get hurt, right?
Yep.
The no exclamation point by the Thunder. It was moderately close. I mean, the Pacers had the lead going into halftime, and most of that half they played without him. So you could see them winning if he's on the court. Joe Marino from Locked On Bills tweeted in the example that I think we mentioned, the Brock Purdy in the NFC Championship against the Eagles.
Yep.
I could have foreseen that, but I don't know, right? Like, it was so early in the game. Like, when does Brock Purdy go down against the Eagles in that NFC Championship and they have to play without a quarterback?
Early. And the backup got hurt, too.
Right. They had to play the game without a quarterback.
And Purdy had to go in with the inability to throw a ball, which was
right. And
kind
now
of
they're
amazing.
Playing Wildcat, and he's just handing the ball off. So that's one where, like, you can't even take anything from the game and use it to evaluate, like, what it would have looked like.
Right.
But some of these other ones, I feel like last night, I feel like Carolina in 06, like, I feel like I can make a real argument, like, they're not winning these. There's a good argument they're not winning those games if the other team's guys don't get injured.
The Bills have, the last 2 years, the Bills have this a little bit, and they would have won the game. I'm not sure what percentage of Bills fans, do they beat the Chiefs if they have healthy linebackers, finger quotes there, like, because they had a bunch of injuries going into the Chiefs game that was here 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. They lose.
Sure.
And A.J. Klein is playing off the street. If they're healthy, do they win that game?
Yeah.
There are plenty of Bills fans that think yes. I'm not exactly convinced. I don't think – it's probably a lot like Halliburton last night. Like, they would have had a much better chance. I don't know I'm all the way to, oh, they would have won if only that, you know, a couple guys were healthy. Last year, Benford. Do you have they would have won if Benford doesn't get hurt? They might have a better chance.
They have a better chance.
I don't know if you get all the way to they would have won.
The 2 years ago, the linebackers example is closer to that for me, because that Chiefs offense was so average in all their other playoff games and regular season games that it almost feels like it had to be because you had linebackers off the street. Because that's also what they attacked the whole game. So, but right, like, that's one where it's tough to play that hypothetical, because that's from the get-go. Like, you knew going in, those are your linebackers. So the Chiefs had all week to prepare for that, and they had a plan of attack. If Bernard plays in that game and Milano was healthy for that game, then Andy Reid cooks something else up. I don't think he's attacking the linebackers the same way that he did, where that was their whole game plan. So I wouldn't even say it about that one, but I would listen to it more than I would listen to last year. Benford going out. Remember, Benford was getting beat on the first drive of that game, I think, before he went out, wasn't he?
They might have hit one pass on him that's a really good pass, but I'm not so sure he was getting
beat. I think
beat.
Football and football defense, though, is tougher to go, oh, well, we would have won that if. That's more, we would have had a better chance.
Yeah.
If your quarterback goes down, then I feel like I'm more willing to say that.
803-0550, our phone number, if you want to join us, 1-888-550-2550. Have had a couple different suggestions, a couple different names here about, you know, a guy got hurt and it changed who would have won the title. Baseball, football, whatever you want, you can have it. I mean, one of these where you and I had gone through like the history of the Super Bowl and then there's going through the championship games.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go really far down the whatever rabbit hole, do Bills fans of the 90s Bills, the Super Bowl 25 Bills, would they have beaten the Niners? Because the Niners lost Joe Montana on the way to that game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giants had a late fumble and a field goal. They beat the Niners with 5 field goals.
Right.
And Joe Montana got knocked out of that game.
Right.
If Montana doesn't get knocked out, I don't know if the Niners finish the job, and then it's Bills-Niners in Super Bowl 25, and then what happens? You know, like sometimes you can drive yourself crazy or have fun with it, whichever you want, thinking about, oh, if only that team hadn't advanced because that quarterback got hurt, that wasn't as good of a matchup. I don't know. You can go pretty far.
Well, because that's tougher because – like, would they have beaten Joe Montana? They didn't beat Hostetler.
Right, that's right. But they would have faced a different defense instead of...
That's true.
Belichick in his, you know, legendary performance with Parcells that day. Like, mm-hmm. It's just different.
Right. Guys on the other side of it. Would they have beaten Hasek if he's the Senators goalie in 06?
It's a good question.
Because that happens too, right? Where teams think we're on our way to winning the title and the guy gets hurt like earlier in the season or like midway through the season. Because that, yeah, like, I don't know about the Montana one would be the Chris Berman Super Bowl, right? That he had been begging for forever.
Yeah, he predicted Bills Niners 100 times.
It's a different looking game, I'm sure, right? It's not slowed down. Maybe it's more of a gunfight, and maybe the Bills are able to win it that way.
Maybe.
So it's certainly possible. That's not one where I would ever say, though, well, if only they played Joe Montana in that Super Bowl, then they would have won it.
That's right.
I wouldn't quite do that.
Yeah. NHL draft is Friday, and that's the first round of the draft Friday. Decentralized draft. So some hockey stuff. Quick hockey note. Dave writes in, Vanek against Boston.
Vanek against the Boston.
The Sabres are up.
Freaking
they're,
ankle broken.
They're up 1-0 in the series and winning game 2.
Yeah.
And in a league where, you know, you're allowed to, like, just chop a guy's broken ankle. That happened, and then they lost the series in 6.
Yep. Connolly,
of course. Connolly. So, on the Sabres, all the rumors are there. We should do this soon, by the way. We've had on our to-do list a played their last game as a Sabre draft.
Yes.
And nobody's been traded yet, but...
No?
We might want to do that next segment, because...
You think someone's coming?
Something's got to happen this week. Kind of has to happen this week, I think. It's the time where trades are made. We'll get more NHL trades today. Maybe there's been speculation that there'll be more action during the week because it's a decentralized draft. You're going to make your phone calls now. Because think of it this way. You're having a fantasy football draft. Which scenario gives you more trades on draft day? All 12 people in the same room? Or all 12 people at their houses online? Where are you getting more trades? All in the same room.
Yes.
Like, hey, anybody want this pick? Anyone want that? You can make those trades easily if you're all at a centralized location. So I think you would have the trades likely happening this week. So that's been suggested. I think that's probably right. And here's Frank Saravelli, who has been all over the Paterka rumors because Paterka's agent is working, it seems, hard.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he anticipates Paterka will be moved before the draft. So now we're into...
before Friday.
I think it'll happen by Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the number one pick in a played their last game as a Sabre draft? I don't think he is.
Mm.
But you don't know what the Sabres will do
He's got to be one of them.
He's got to be one of them. Byram is, I think, the favorite.
Byram is the number one.
But
Byram is my number one.
Haven't we been in this spot before where we fully expect a player to be traded, and then the next thing you know, it's July, and then it's August, and then he's coming to training camp, and you're like, I mean, I guess, sorry, but they just did not meet the price for what Kevin Adams is looking for.
Who would that be?
I mean, that would have been Eichel. That would have been
sure.
That would have been their pursuit of players like a top six forward. Like, oh, it's going to happen soon. When's it going to happen? They've talked about wanting a top six, and then they don't do it.
Yep.
There's another report from maybe the fourth period, which, you know, again, take any one of these with a grain of salt, whatever you want here. Mm-hmm. We could talk about rumors, or we don't have to talk about rumors. But it was kind of funny. Like, the story from them is the Sabres are aggressively exploring the trade market. Who wrote this up for
David Pagnotta? Yeah. He mentioned Marco Rossi of the Wild. I think is one player that they've shown interest in. Who's a good player? 60 points last year. Young.
And the story on what they're interested in, it's kind of one of those things where you're like, oh, they're interested in adding two top two centers. Oh, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get that? When does that happen?
No, you're not. I mean, that's where. Are these the phone calls about Paterka? Like, hey, sure, we're willing to move him. We're now willing to talk to you about Paterka. We want your number one center. That is the, hey, they're looking to do something aggressive. They're looking to do something big. And if this guy doesn't want to be there anymore, they would probably view him as maybe their ticket to doing something big. And that's not going to be for the 12th pick in someone's third best prospect.
Right. To that point, at fourthperiod.com, Pagnotta writes, Adams is not interested in moving Paterka or Byram for future assets. Any moves he completes involving any key pieces result in immediate help in NHL talent. The Sabres are looking to add two top six forwards this offseason, with a number two center believed to be atop their wish list. So that would put, who's the number one center? Norris?
Norris slash Kulik.
Okay. And then the number two center is?
The other one.
The other guy. So, I mean, Kulik being your top line center is, again, he plays with Tage,
Into year two, like.
I don't know, that's pretty lofty.
A team that is serious about winning doesn't go in with the plan being that the 20-year-old kid who had 9 assists last year is going to be our number one center.
Right, yeah.
Right? Like, they're open to him growing into a role and taking over somebody's job, but you don't go in with that as, well, he's got to do it. That is, right, a serious team says, no, we're not flush at that position. We should be calling about any available or potentially available center that will help us. Maybe, which is maybe why you're seeing Rossi's name out there, because I think he does play center for Minnesota, and he's, I mean, 60 points is 60 points at 23 last year. You know, it might be Paterka just in a different form. That would make sense to why you're seeing that call. I don't know, though, that they're going to get any of this done, though.
Right. It's hard to...
How much am I supposed to believe? I don't want to believe it's zero. They traded Cousins.
They did.
Like, they did trade Cousins. And they found an idea that I liked at the time, and it's tough to evaluate
because we haven't seen
the guy.
Yeah,
I mean, that's part of the evaluation is, though, that was your risk. Your risk was you were acquiring a player with a lot of baggage because of the injuries. And he immediately got hurt. So that could end up looking poor on them. But at the time, I liked the idea. And I'll never want to criticize him for trying that move, because Cousins was just lost, and the value was going down, down, down every day that passed. So his ability to do a similar type of trade involving Byram or Paterka, I want to think it's possible, but sure. I feel like I could see Paterka playing another game for the Sabres. They don't get what they want. There's nobody that's offering them what they think it's worth to do it. So they say, okay, well, we're going to come back and we're going to do it on this super short-term deal, and, you know, we'll go from there. Byram, I just feel like, does anybody want it? You know, like, the Paterka thing feels like the Sabres don't want to move him, but he wants to be gone, and they're more, like, begrudgingly being walked to the trade conversation. Byram, it just feels more like everybody's just good, like, hey, we're good here.
Well,
Byram's good here, the Sabres are good here.
That's all based on reason. Why does Byram want out? I want a bigger role. All right, well, hey, you know what? If that's in your heart, okay. Peterka, why do you want out? If, in fact, he does. Some of the story reporting is he wants to be in a bigger city. Jerk. One guy's heart is about his role. One guy's heart is about the kind of place he'd like to live, maybe.
And the other thing is, like, if the Sabres are, you know, if they've got a couple of people in that room that are smart at finding who the players are that are actually good and who the guys that are not, I feel like you have a much stronger defense that Peterka's actually good than Byram is actually good, right? Byram feels like the guy you can almost trick another team into thinking, oh, this guy, like, number one defenseman capabilities. Look, he played 23 minutes for us last night.
Well,
hey, 12th in the league in even strength points for defensemen.
I have no doubt they're doing that like you're doing it in a fantasy football league. I always make my comparisons here. Like, oh, I'm going to need number one defenseman return on this. Like, come on, buddy. Who are you really pulling it over on?
No, like, you might not. You know, but that would be why you would move him. You might not end up getting that value for him at the end of it, but you're trading him because you don't think he's nearly as good as what somebody else might think he is.
803-0550, our phone number. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring if you want. You know, hey, happy Monday. Summer's here. Days are long. It's hot outside. Sun's shining. 90s, high 80s and maybe into the 90s this week as well. And the draft is Friday. So we'll keep tracking on those rumors and getting them to you. 803-0550 on WGR.
In terms of...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Of what the Canucks are up to elsewhere, I believe Vancouver is one of the teams that's been closely following and has called the Sabres on the J.J. Peterka file. At varying points, I think they've had some interest in what a Bowen Byram deal could look like. So that part has been ongoing.
Frank Saravelli, Daily Faceoff. So Peterka and Byram, wasn't that Patterson? When we were talking... Patterson last year when that trade was maybe going to happen. It didn't. It was Byram and Cousins. And is that not a... I mean, I think I'd rather have Byram and Peterka if I'm getting a deal back.
I really wonder if he is still available at all. It doesn't sound as though he is as available as he might have been during the season, but I don't know that that means he can't be traded.
803-0550, Jeremy and Joe. Owen's here. Josh is here. I was going to ask you guys something. I forget. Get some trivia along the way today.
We've really entered that, like, the NBA Finals ending. This is the slowest month in sports.
It's up there.
Like, I haven't even looked. I'm going to guess Wimbledon is this week or next week. Wimbledon is always, like, immediately after everything else ends. And that is always like the coronation for me of, okay, now there's nothing on the sports calendar because like Wimbledon and like something soccer are like all we have.
Started today.
Wimbledon did?
Yep.
Knew it.
Yep.
Of course it did.
Started today.
Wimbledon is the kickoff to the no sports season. All right.
You also, of course, have the All-Star game in baseball where the 2 days, you know, the day before, the day after, no major four sporting events.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's a little bit of a slow time. You also have the NFL offseason time where all the teams want to do is not make headlines. Just let's have nothing happen.
Yep.
Let's try to be as quiet as possible.
Meanwhile, Tyreek Hill's getting up on a stage and yelling things about Jalen Ramsey and the Bills.
He's trying to get Ramsey to come back.
He wants Ramsey to come back.
He wants Ramsey to come back.
Yeah.
All right.
And he called out the Bills for running cover four against the Dolphins.
Sounds great.
Seems to work.
Real sick burn.
Right.
They play this defense against us that works all the time. Oh. Hard.
Uh-huh.
I guess so.
Is it like the guy that you play in like Madden or NCAA, the video game, that runs the same play every time, though? That does, it does infuriate you, but like...
You gotta beat it.
Beat it. Beat it, or they'll keep running the same play over and over and over and over.
Help me remember, was it this, speaking of like defense and being mad about it, was it this year that 2 weeks into the season, Mel Kiper said that cover two should be illegal?
Oh.
Remember that? Two or three weeks into the season.
That was a great week.
We were into, they should ban cover two defense.
Was that the 20, I think it was the 23 season.
Okay, it was not this year, it was 2 years ago? Okay.
No, wait. No, maybe it was this year. Yeah, no, I think it was this year. Because scoring was down at the beginning of this year, right? And teams were running the ball more. Yeah, I think it was this year. Then Mel Kiper said they banned too high safety, right?
Yeah, banned too high safeties.
September 19th.
Of 24?
Yep, of 24.
This year. Banned too high safeties.
Yeah, that didn't hold up.
No. No.
The conversation didn't even hold up.
No, a couple weeks into the season, scoring was down a little bit. Ended up being fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we were all good. So.
Bills go to training camp 1 month from today. Get excited.
Yeah. See the chart on Keon Coleman from this weekend about contested catches and separation? And
I'm going to guess it was not kind to him
on
separation.
No, it's not in either. Not in either. I mean, he's not separating and he's not really pulling in a high percentage of contested catches.
Well, part of that that is not surprising to me is that contested catches as a stat, as like a thing mm-hmm. that is charted, if you were to ask 100 people, like, what do you think of contested catches? Like, oh, like a jump ball in the back of the end zone, a fade pattern, a back shoulder, or the guy's right. And in reality, it's any catch where a defender is close. That's it. Within 1 yard of separation, because are the two best players in the NFL at contested catches that I see this chart? It's like Ja'Marr Chase and Ladd McConkey. Or it's Mike Evans and Ladd McConkey.
That might be right.
Ladd McConkey is one of the best contested catch guys in the NFL. This was something I always remember about Diggs. When the Bills traded for him, he was great at contested catches and not a jump ball guy by any stretch. So Evans is both, Mike Evans.
Right.
You, if you were to, on draft night, it said, like, which of these two, Ladd or Coleman's the better contested catch guy? Ladd McConkey is much better, but it's because contested catches aren't exactly what you think they are.
That's right. Well, also, like, the chart I'm looking at also does, to your point, like, have the rate. Like, how many of your targets are contested catches? And, right, Chase, it's 10%. He actually isn't one of the best, but he has the lowest rate of them.
Okay, must be where I saw
it. But that means you're elite, right?
Like, it means you're open.
That means only 10% of his targets, he has a guy near him.
Right. Why would a catch be contested? There's multiple reasons.
Right.
Your quarterback holds the ball too long. Your quarterback throws it when you're not open.
That's right.
You are not open. Like, yeah.
McConkey is more, he doesn't get many of them, and he's great at them. But it's a smaller sample size. But there are guys like, again, Coleman, second highest rate of, and at least of this group of players, at how often his target, there's a guy near him and it's contested.
Mm-hmm.
Second highest rate. And he's catching about 23% of them, like between 20 and 25% of them. There are guys in the league like Cortland Sutton who gets a ton of them, and he's over 60% at pulling those balls in. And when you think of Cortland Sutton, that is kind of what you think of, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's going to go up and he's going to pull it away from you.
Or he's going to win on a slant with a guy on his back,
yeah.
Use his body.
T. Higgins is over 50% to this, and Adunze or McLaurin is really high. He's over 50% for this. Michael Pittman is over 50%, and these are guys that are getting it a lot. So, I don't know, like, camp for this, like, seeing those clips of him at camp and watching him last year when he pulls those balls down, like, I think I'm going to be very curious to see what he looks like in training camp. Has he gone to the shop like over the offseason and he is learning how to separate? He's learning how to run routes that, hey, he was a rookie. He was a really young one, and maybe he didn't get coached this way at Florida State or at Michigan State before that, because we've heard that story about several Bills before. And they went to work with him for 6 months, no draft stuff, no combine stuff that you're busy with, and he got better at running like four different routes in a big way.
Yeah.
So now, all right, like even if you're not the best contested catch guy, like we thought you might have been, you're going to be better at getting open. Because he's going to be on the field a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be in the field all the time. And I'm just not loving the combo that I see of guy that doesn't get open, and he's not really as good at these jump balls as maybe we think he is.
Well, I guess none of these charts can necessarily scare me about Coleman, where they're charting this kind of stuff, because I feel like I know exactly what I expect him to be. And one thing I don't expect is to be moved by him at camp, no matter how explosive or how good he looks. And I don't say that because I'm not open to it, but just he looks impressive at camp. He did last year. They throw him a couple things, and you're going to see a highlight where he's doing a jumping, turning catch in the corner, and it's going to look like really impressive. I know that's not the separation play.
That's not the play.
He's
going to
try and do nothing in camp. I feel like he will always look good in camp, and it'll have to come down to what he does in the actual games. Which, by the way, half of the season last year, he looked pretty good. You're going to play with Josh Allen. You're going to be on the field as much as he is. My guess about Coleman is not that we're going to argue about whether or not he's good. I think the future argument about Coleman is how good is he, which means that I think he'll put up numbers. I think he'll produce for them. He'll make highlight reel catches. If they give him the ball in space, he's great after the catch. He brings a lot of ability there. So I think it'll end up being the Gabe debate. How good is that guy? And that quickly ended with, ultimately, he was a product of their ecosystem, and he's not a guy that's going to carry his own load. I don't know that Coleman will follow the same road, but I envision future arguments about him being about how good he actually is with the numbers he's putting up, which I expect to be decent numbers.
The thing I'm wondering about at camp, though, is not just him looking good the way he did last year, which is he's going up over Jamarcus Ingram for a crazy-looking catch that makes the crowd go, ooh, like, and everybody reacts because he scored a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. I'm thinking he looks good because maybe he's not getting the oohs and ahs because he jab-stepped Jamarcus Ingram on the inside and he's 5 yards behind him on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are the plays. I didn't see those last year. You're thinking back to training camp and how many reps they did, right? So it's
no, training camp,
very inexact way to do it.
That's right.
But he wasn't doing that. At least that wasn't the perception of what he was doing at camp last year. That's the thing I want to be looking for, because don't I want to be a little bit open to he can get better at that stuff? He's young enough to do it.
You can.
They're going to be asking him to do it. Like, because I'm going to want, that's what I'm going to really want him to do if I'm ever going to think about him being like a good player for them on the outside. I don't think you can live the way that they lived with him as a rookie.
See, I feel like that's how they're going to live with him. It's a role, and will he get better at contested catches? Sure, that can improve a little bit, but you know, how much will they diversify his route tree as opposed to not just running him down the field on go routes, which they did a lot last year? It was a ton of go routes.
He had a very high percentage.
Yes,
of them,
it was his number one. I think he was the number one targeted go route receiver in the league. I don't think that's going to be the case anymore. So, sure, find his strengths a little bit more clearly. You've got a full off season. You're also communicating to him what you want him to work on. I feel like my expectations for Coleman are always going to be kind of just like tempered in a, I think they know what they want him to do, and that's going to be.
That's my worries. I think the thing they want him to do is his least efficient play. Honestly, we haven't mentioned the thing that he is his best trait. Or at least what he was best at as a rookie. His best thing at a rookie was yards after catch.
Right, and they did not.
He created yards when he had the ball, and he was very good at it. He was one of the best in the league, but on a very small, you know, sample for it. But that is what he was good at. That would be my worry, is they get tunnel vision into this is what he has to be if it's a really inefficient play for him, which that jump ball play was really inefficient for them last year with him.
803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. The Thunder are champions in the NBA and win it in seven. Tyrese Halliburton, an Achilles injury that was disappointing.
You've had three finals MVPs in three different sports, all from Canada this year. Freddie Freeman in the World Series, SGA in obviously the NBA, and then Sam Bennett in the NHL.
Yeah.
So who's going to win it in the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl Canadian MVP? Who's the best Canadian NFL player?
The Bills have two.
Josh Palmer?
Josh Palmer and Michael Hoyt.
Okay, yeah.
They could, right?
Who's the most likely?
No, Palmer couldn't. There's no way. Palmer could have 250 yards. It'd be Josh Allen.
It's tough.
It'd have to be Hoyt.
Chuba Hubbard for NFL MVP in the Super Bowl.
I think Michael Hoyt has a better chance than Chuba Hubbard.
Oh, that's a good question.
Michael Hoyt could have like a four-sack Super Bowl.
They don't give it to defensive players, Joe.
They did
they
one
don't.
Time. Who was the Seattle guy that nobody remembers? He won it.
True. Break time on WGR. Hey, you can enter the Friday Foursome Contest. The Friday Foursome with Encore Golf is back. Are you ready to tee it up for free? Every Friday, we're giving away a foursome at one of our favorite nearby fairways. Seneca Hickory Stick Golf, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, or Royal Niagara Golf Club, plus a box of Encore Golf Balls, $25 Encore gift card. Enter now through August 21st at WGR550.com for your shot at the pin. There you go.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday foursome. We'll announce the winner Friday. That's how it works. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy summer.
It's officially summer because all sports are done, except for baseball. How much do you know about this baseball season?
I know the Rockies were historically bad and then started rattling off wins.
My under 58.5 wins suddenly a little bit live again.
Don't let them get hot.
Or 18-60. Yeah, they've won 5 of 10.
Yeah.
After winning like five of the previous 70.
Are there comments from the players talking about a shift in the mindset and how they're learning to win?
Yes.
The coach did say, don't let us get hot.
That's funny.
That is actually that actually is funny.
Don't let them get hot.
They're 29.5 games back in their division, but don't let them get hot.
I know the Mets are having a good year.
No. Well, they were, but they've lost, is it 7 in a row now?
Don't let them get cold.
8 in a row?
Nobody ever says that.
They've lost a lot of games in a row.
That's fine.
The Tigers are amazing, I guess.
Yep.
Which shocked me. And what's one other thing? And the Pirates are like
an embarrassment to the sport.
But like they've always been an embarrassment to the sport. Is that getting more publicity this year than ever, though?
Because
like, they shouldn't exist.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, that's why, right? It's because Skeens exists and everyone knows he's unbelievable. And they did something last week with like a doubleheader where, what was it? Something that like it was like an obvious thing to do for your fans and they didn't do it. Oh, Skeens was going to pitch that day. And there was a doubleheader, so they had an afternoon game and then a night game, and obviously the night game was going to be more well-attended. They were going to play Skeens in one of them, and they played him in the early one when like nobody was going to be there. They could have just so easily put him in the second game. Like, hey, you're going to have a crowd. Mm-hmm. Put Skeens in the night game. They just didn't do it. Like, just nothing that organization does seems to be the right decision.
The other thing I know about baseball is that Red Sox fans are really mad at their team this year because of the Devers trade.
Like, yeah. Well, they're back to acting like a
budget.
The little brother to the Yankees, right? Like, they're not paying as much. Because all that money's going to Liverpool. John Henry, let's go. And they're going to sell the Penguins, too. So maybe there are money problems.
I can't keep track of who owns who at this point. Yeah, who cares? I mean, I care. But anyway. 803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. Training camp 1 month away. NHL draft is Friday. It's Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.